Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, and blessings to you all. Blessings to all the daughters of Zion that are tuned in tonight. I am Mother Jennifer. I will be your host tonight for this show. We have Sister Ashley, who is normally our host, but she is behind the scenes tonight listening from home. So bless you, Sister Ashley. We love you. We miss you. And we look forward to your return and blessings to the home of Deacon Bell. I want to give all glory and honor to the Most High Yah for continually cleaning us and keeping us and everything that he does to make sure that we are a spotless bride for him, for his glory. You know, it's an honor to have an identity, to know that we belong to a true sisterhood, to know who we are through him. And I just want to really thank him for his patience with us, you know, as we are learning new information, all this information that's really coming out regarding deliverance and the fact that we are able to live a life of freedom like we have never had before. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his patience, his wisdom, his love, his provision over his family. You know, I really marvel when I look at him and I see the drive that he has for Israel through, you know, his love for the Most High. It really is an honor for me to be able to watch his example and to be able to model my example after what he shows me. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dial, for loving us enough to really dig into the word, to really research on our behalf, to really seek the Father on our behalf so that we can experience new levels of freedom like never before. These messages that we have had have just truly been life-changing. And I tell you, sisters, if you have noticed that you've had contention following you, you know, if it has been surrounding you, then really check yourself. You know, look at what you have going on in your heart. Listen to that message and deal with yourself, because you will realize once you deal with yourself that contention will leave. So typically the problem is normally you. It's normally you. It's not the other person. It's you. So I just want to thank Pastor Dial for just always telling us the truth. And I want to really thank his family for the labor of love as they support the man of Yah. So blessings to you, Pastor, and blessings to your entire family. I have Sister Hadassah with me tonight, and we are going to talk about a topic that I don't know if we've ever discussed this or not, but it was pretty interesting, and I'll tell you how this topic came up. But first, I want to give Sister Hadassah an opportunity to do a sound check and say a few words to the saints.
Shalom, sisters. I just want to say this is a beautiful opportunity that I have to be in fellowship with you tonight. And I am grateful for this opportunity, and I thank my husband for allowing me to be a partaker in this opportunity as well, and bless you, mother and sisters.
Hallelujah. All right, it looks like we can hear Sister Hadassah. Looks like everyone can hear me as well. So this show tonight will be about an hour long, and after this broadcast, we're going to do another live YouTube. Well, it's not going to be live, but it'll be a premiere. So there's an interview from a dear sister who fellowships with Georgia. Her name is Sister Jasmine Basham, and she is a medical doctor, and she's going to talk about the things that she has witnessed coming into the faith. She's going to share a little bit about her background, and she's going to talk about how she has witnessed healing on levels that she has never even experienced before in the medical field. So she's going to talk about all of those things, and that will be premiering in 1 hour. So it is a little after 7 o'clock here, Eastern time. And if you are on Central time, it's a little after 6 o'clock. So in about an hour, it'll be 8 o'clock Eastern and 7 o'clock Central. We will be premiering that interview. So as soon as we end this broadcast, there might be a four-minute intermission, and then that broadcast will start. But I want to say that during that interview, something really struck me. You know, she talked about her training as a doctor and how they had to take oaths during that time. And she talked about, you know, going through the renouncing process after coming into the faith. But the oath that she talked about was called a Hippocratic Oath. And I took the time to look that up. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil what she's saying, but the Hippocratic Oath is basically, it's widely known in Greek medical texts. And it requires a new physician to swear upon a number of healing gods that this physician will uphold a number of professional and ethical standards. The purpose of the Hippocratic Oath, it's one of the oldest binding documents in history, one online, And it says that it is still held sacred by physicians to treat the ill to the best of one's ability, to preserve a patient's privacy, and to teach the secrets of medicine to the next generation. One thing that really strikes me is when it talks about it requires a new physician to swear upon a number of healing gods, you know, and for somebody just from the outside looking in, somebody not in the faith, you would think that, okay, this is pretty moral because it says that, you know, this is an oath to help treat ill patients to the best of one's ability. And it preserves a patient's privacy, and it's to teach the secrets of medicine to the next generation. So you would think that it's something that's pretty moral. And, you know, what I started really thinking about is how things can appear to be moral. If you're not seeking Yah in it, it's not righteous. It's not of him. And Sister Jasmine even talked about how she was a part of a sorority. And so I started kind of looking into sororities and, you know, some of the things that they do and some of the oaths that they take, because you do take oaths in a sorority. Now, I'm not, I don't have experience when it comes to sororities. Excuse me. So I had a couple sisters write some letters just to give me their background and their experiences when it came to sororities and taking oaths and things that they had to do, you know, after coming into the knowledge of the truth to renounce those things. Okay, so a sorority is a society for female students in a university or college typically, and it's usually for social purposes. Now, I looked this definition up online, okay, to just listen, because when you read these definitions, you immediately think, okay, this is moral. This is moral. You know, it tries to really pull you in from a moral aspect, and this is what the world does. It says that the benefits of being in a sorority is sisterhood, okay? It says sisterhood is a common word used on many college sorority web pages to describe the benefits of joining. Another benefit they say is character and value development. Sororities place heavy emphasis on character and development of members. They say that there's academic advantages and organized fun. They said that you should join a sorority because you'll have a chance to develop new friendships. You'll take part in meaningful campus activities and community service events, and you'll develop your leadership skills. Again, it's trying to tell you, you know, all these meanings makes it seem like, okay, this is moral. This is something good. Now, you know, here in the faith that we understand sisterhood. We understand what true sisterhood is. And something that really came to my mind as I was reading through all this information is how, you know, Satan always has a counterfeit for what Yah has set up. So Yah has set up a sisterhood already. But it just really reminds me, and I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 11. I'll start at verse 13. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So focus on that. It is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So when you think about sororities and what they put out there, you know, they want to be moral and, you know, they want to do good works, but it's not of Yah. You know, this is a form of Satan transforming himself and his workers into ministers of righteousness. So we're going to talk about, I'm going to read a couple of letters, and then I will, I want to hear Sister Hadassah's testimony as well, but I'm going to read first. It says, shalom and many blessings. I wanted to get to the point and be as concise as possible with what I can remember about the intake or the pledge process. Okay, so there might be terminology that we don't understand, and I'll try to change some of the words if I have to, just so that everyone can understand. So she says that it was her master who first brought the wickedness of sororities to her attention, and what ultimately led me to repentance and straightway. So she says, okay, regarding the intake and the pledge, she said, I became a member of the sorority in April of 2011. Of course, there was an application, there was an interview and fee in order to be considered a member, as well as an extensive intake process that consisted of rituals and oaths. I remember throughout this period, we were instructed to always wear black. And on the night we, quote unquote, crossed over, we were told to wear white. This particular night, we would kneel on a pillow on the floor, repeat the intake oath, and sign our names in the book. The table had to be dressed in a certain way with a specific number and color of candles. I now realize how binding all of these things were spiritually. Then there were things that we had to do. She says they would consider it off the record, unofficially, since it was considered hazing, which is illegal. However, in the Greek world, now remember, sororities, they are worshiping Greek gods, okay? So that's why she says in the Greek world. She said it was necessary to pledge to gain respect. I remember nights where we would carry bricks, we would squat for hours or even raise our arms and look to Minerva, the goddess of war and wisdom. She says, I remember being belittled, yelled at, and berated for the sake of sisterhood. So I find this interesting that, you know, you think that you're developing a sisterhood, but in the midst of it, you're still being belittled, you're being berated, and you say that you're doing it all in the name of sisterhood, right? So Sister Adasa, I want to go to you because I asked you earlier. I know you have experience in this, so tell me your background regarding sororities and, you know, how you came across a sorority. Like, what was your involvement?
Okay. I was in college at the time, and I actually was affiliated with this group of women who wanted to start a new sorority. And with this particular sorority, they wanted it to be for mothers and for women who did not want to take the traditional route for sorority.
So let me pause you there. When you say the traditional route, you mean no hazing, right? No mental abuse, no belittlement. That's what you're speaking of?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, that was the general, synopsis.
Okay.
And so I agreed to be a partaker in this, and I helped to found the sorority. And after or during the process of going through submitting all the paperwork and getting this to be official, I came to realize that it was not different than the other sororities, actually. It was actually quite similar. Would you like me to tell you that?
I do want to know how it was similar, but before we go there, let me ask you this. What was the reason that you got the involvement in the sorority? Like, what drew you to a sorority?
At the time, I didn't really have a whole lot of friends, and I was looking for a place to belong. I wanted a group of women that I could associate with to have a sense of belonging.
Right. Okay. And I noticed that, you know, just looking through, because I did listen to some interviews on YouTube, and that was the reason that everyone wanted to pledge was they wanted a sisterhood. They wanted to belong. They wanted a close knit with other women. And it's interesting how Satan has perverted this whole thing, you know, just women having relationships. He's perverted the whole thing. And Yah has created and intended us to actually come together, you know, and to love one another if we can just get past ourselves. So you said that it ended up being the same, right? Okay, how so?
It ended up being the same in the same satanic practices that all sororities partake in. We did the same. And regarding, I'll leave that because I'm not sure if you want me to go there.
So like the same, like making oaths and things like that, y'all did the same thing?
Yes, ma'am. The pledging process, speaking, worshiping other gods, even down to the chanting, the different call signs, you name it, we did it.
Right. And when she says chanting, you know, you're chanting words to these false gods. I'm going to go back to the email. She said, I want to share some of the things that we recited that I can remember, and a few things she said she had to look up. So this particular sister was a part of Delta Sigma Theta. So she says a popular Delta chant was, all of my love, my peace, and happiness, I'm going to give it to Delta. She said the sweetheart song that is sung during someone's wedding or graduation ceremonies, it says, if she wears the Delta symbol, then her first love is DST. She says the national hymn says, Delta Sigma Theta, we pledge thee loyalty, devoted to truth, a bond of our youth that keeps our hearts clean and pure to the end. And she said, during one of their ceremonies, the president says, you're about to take an obligation and vows in which no one can be freed. So they tell you, as you're taking this vow, that you can't be freed from it. She says, as candidates, she said, we had to recite the following, promising to dedicate their lives to Delta. So one of the promises reads, I blank do promise in the presence of the eternal spirit of truth and these finite witnesses that I will never reveal in any manner whatsoever for any purpose, any of the secrets, passwords, signs, grips, or other confidences entrusted to my keeping as a member. So you have to vow to keep these things secret. Your religion was your choice. And then there was an oath that had to be made. It says, I will strive to reach the highest educational, moral, and spiritual efficiency which I can possibly attain. And now think about this. As I'm going through all these steps, you know, you would think this is very moral. Even in the oath that you're taking, it says, I will never belittle any race and will try to persuade others to take the same stand. I will always protest against the double standard of morals. I will take an active interest in the welfare of my country, using my influence toward the enactment of laws for the protection of the unfortunate and the weak. So again, you would think, oh, this is pretty moral, you know, to somebody who is not discerning at all. Do some of these things sound familiar, Sister Adassa?
Yes, ma'am, they do. Having been a partaker in that, when you make these particular oaths, a lot of things at the time, you don't even really understand what you're saying. A lot of it is done in ignorance, and you don't find out until later what you have actually invited in to your body and the curses that you've actually brought upon yourself.
Right, absolutely. Something that I thought was very interesting, she said that there is a chapter in a sorority in which if someone is deceased, so they're still considered a member. So if someone is deceased,
you can initiate them as a member. And at their funeral, the members of the sorority have a separate and closed ceremony to bind this deceased person to the sorority in the afterlife. So that's a whole nother level of wickedness. It really is. Going to the funeral and dedicating the person's soul to bind them to the sorority in the afterlife. There was also something that was included in the email, and it says it's a meditation for the women to meditate on. And it's supposed to be 1 Corinthians, but what they've done is they've taken some of the wording and they've changed it. And so I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, though I speak with the tongues of the learned and the profound and have no love, I am as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I prophesy all the Delta laws, rituals, and traditions and secrets and can recite them, and though I have such absolute devotion to duty that I can do anything my hands undertake and have not love, I am nothing. So you see how the word Delta is inserted into this, you know, into this in 1 Corinthians. So again, what we're focusing on is how Satan always has such a counterfeit. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about how she renounced. You know, when she came into the faith and she realized, okay, this is wicked, so I need to get out of this. I need to renounce it. We're going to go through some steps. So before we do that, I want to talk about the word renounce and the word denounce, okay? So renounce means that you formally reject, you refuse to recognize, or you will no longer engage in or support something or someone. And it's about a personal rejection of something that you will no longer do. Denounce means that you publicly declare someone or something else to be wrong or evil. It is about calling attention to something else as wrong or evil. So one is basically, in summary, renounce is about a personal rejection of something that you will no longer do, whatever it is, evil or wrong or not. Denounce is about calling attention to something that you believe to be wrong or evil and publicly saying that it is wrong. So we're going to go through some of the steps that this sister went through in renouncing and denouncing her involvement in this sorority. She says, in March of 2021, I sent in the paperwork to officially be removed as a member of the sorority. I wanted to get this done before Passover because I knew that I would be attending and wanted to be able to seek deliverance while I was there. Spiritually, I had to repent for a number of spirits, idolatry, whoredoms, and pride. I also had to renounce and break any agreements that I made through any oaths or rituals or chants. I held high positions and even acted as stepmaster for many years. And just 3 days ago, I caught myself doing a random step that wasn't affiliated with Delta, but brought Delta to my remembrance. And instantly I repented. And I asked Yah to purge my conscience in that exact same moment. Now that I am spiritually aware, I just thank the Most High for giving me the ears to hear and convicting me once my master planted the seed. Sister Adassa, talk to me about you know, before I go there, I want to say, you know, as we were going through, you know, some of the things that you did to renounce and, you know, I was asking you about some of the oaths and the rituals and things like that. I thought it was good that you couldn't remember. You said, you know, the Father has really purged my mind. So there was a lot that you didn't remember. And that's the point that you want to get to. You want to remember what you need to so that you can get set free. But after that, you want your mind to be purged. So talk to me about, you know, some of the things that you did to renounce.
Yes, ma'am. First, I was in contact with the leadership of the sorority, and I let them know that I asked for my name to be removed from all printed material, which is not a common practice, but initially I was given a no. And then after making a petition to the Most High Yah, I received a call and I was told that that could be done. And that was the first step in this process. And then after that, what I did is I began to break all ungodly soul ties with everyone that I had come in contact with, associated with the sorority. And I renounced, I broke, and I loosed myself from all leagues, all covenant agreements formed by worshiping false gods. I also renounced in authority. You can become sort of, you can always be, almost be worshiped yourself depending on your position. And what I did is I repented for even putting myself in that position. And I asked the Father to dethrone me in the minds of those that were in the sorority so that that would no longer be a place in their mind. And for also that my name not even be recalled in their memory, if he would be so merciful to do so. I also renounced for and repented for recruiting pledges, and I renounced and confessed every single activity that I could recall during the pledging process, and also for going out and seeking unsuspected, you know, women, bringing them into that participation of witchcraft. And I also renounced all chants, all the signs, all the agreements that we made, that this sign would be this, that call would be that. This, I renounced all of that. And I also renounced all rituals, what we did in there. And I began to confess, and that was for being a commandment breaker and for rebelling against the Father, and also for being a participant in witchcraft. And I actually called it out by name that I had been a witch, because rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And I wanted to be free. And I also confessed for being an idolater and for whoring around with other gods, for committing whoredoms, and also for loving the vain glory that came along with the status of being in a sorority. And from there, I went to deliverance. And with the deliverance, what I tackled first was witchcraft, the hoodoo, the voodoo, the white magic, the black magic, the idolatry, and mind control. And this was not a slow process. It actually took a few years for me to overcome these things. But after I was able to be set free from these spirits, at that time, slowly my mind was being purged. And today, I'm not able to recall specifics about the sorority, because truly he has been merciful and purged me.
Hallelujah. It sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
And somebody could potentially be overwhelmed by all the steps. You wanted to say one more thing?
Yes, please. I wanted to mention getting rid of the paraphernalia, because that was another thing. I threw away the books and all the material that I had, and also the clothing. And I found that that was the most difficult thing for me, because it was like a draw. It was, the colors were pretty. And I remember saying to myself, well, just keep it because the colors are pretty on the jacket. And the Father was, of course, dealing with me on that. And so you have to get rid of all those things so that you can truly be free from it.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And remember, like she said, you know, it's a process. And you can't be discouraged as long as you take of making sure that you are in right standing with the Most High Yah. Something that I thought was very important was breaking those soul ties. You know, one thing that comes up is how you have what's called line sisters. And so these are women that you pledge with together. And I'm going to read this next letter, and she's going to talk about, you know, with your line sisters, how you had to know where they were at all times. You had to know everything about them. Like you had to really have a close, intimate relationship with these line sisters. And when you're going through the process of renouncing, denouncing, getting deliverance, something very important is breaking the soul ties with those that you formed these ties with. You know, somebody that you were used to seeing every day, several times a day, you know, you wanted to be knit together, but it was in unrighteousness. So you have to break that tie that you have with that individual. So we're going to go on to the next letter. It says shalom and blessings. When I joined a sorority, I only had a surface level understanding of what I was committing to. I was all about the sisterhood and serving the community, but it was not until I started studying and researching the underlying origin of the sororities, the spirits that rule them, and the symbolism in the shields that I began to truly understand the severity of my decision to be bound to this organization. Before I go forward, I want to say she's talking about the symbolism in the shield. So each sorority has a crest or a sign that represents them. It represents who they are. And it was interesting as I was looking through them, it was interesting to see that a lot of them had the same, some of the same symbolism that Freemasons have. Because when you talk about sororities and fraternities, they're all rooted in Freemasonry. So when you're looking at, like she says, the shield, the symbolism, you know, Freemasonry, it's all the same. It's all Wicked. She says, when you have line sisters, you are required to learn everything about them. You are put under a strict set of rules that isolates you from everybody outside of your line sisters. You do everything together. And the few moments when we were apart, we were required to know each other's exact whereabouts. We were required to know all details about the history of the organization, such as founders and other private information concerning the foundation of the sorority. She said we would get called to late night meetings, or they called it set, where we would be put through countless hours of physical, mental, and emotional stress. The point was to break your individual mind and will to nothingness in hopes to build you up in the vision and oneness of the sisterhood. Not everyone could endure, so they would drop line or quit. But those who continued on would be bound together for life. So again, I think about how Yah tells us that we are to renew our minds, right? We're to really forget everything about our own individual mind, and our mind should be transformed to His. So this sounds exactly the same. Let's go forward. It says there were ceremonies that took place. One in particular involved kneeling with your hand in the Bible and repeating the pledge and making oaths to the organization. There were numerous rituals as well. One in particular was called Hell Night. It was an intense night where you were expected to push through mental and physical exhaustion, privation, and stress and be tested on a high level of performance. Basically, the night had all intentions of breaking you down into full submission and proving that you are willing to give your all to the organization. I now know that it was a ritual sacrifice to the pagan god of chaos and violence. At the completion of Hell Night, there was a ritual called crossing the burning sands, which initiated your completion of dying of yourself process and entering into the new life of sorority. You're also given a new name and prepared for your next ritual called a probate. So you're given a new name, right? Just like what does Yah tell us that he would give us a new name? A probate signifies the death, old you, and the rebirth of the new you and the new name given to you. Truly a disgusting counterfeit to Yahweh's true order of dying to the old man and being renewed in Jesus Christ. My journey to renouncing and being set free from pledging a sorority began with acknowledging that being a part of that sorority is a sin. Naturally, I burned all of my paraphernalia and stepped down from my position and involvement with the sorority. I sent in an official statement renouncing my membership and all binding contracts and oaths. Spiritually, I had to confess to Yah that I have betrayed Him and that I have played the whore and served, made oaths, and sacrificed to so many gods. I had to confess everything to the Father that I could remember during and after the pledging process. I have had a lot of deliverance from spirits concerning the occult, witchcraft, idolatry, and trauma. I have remained active in breaking curses and getting deliverance as things are revealed even to this day. Yah's love and mercy endures forever, and with deepest sincerity and gratefulness, I rejoice that he has chosen to impart his Holy Spirit in me, that I may live for him and him alone. All glory and high esteem to our soon coming King. Hallelujah. So what a wonderful letter of overcoming. Do you want to add anything to that?
I would. I would just like to say that in the sororities, they use a lot of the Bible. And as you know, they would incorporate their own spin on it. But we're told to let this mind be in you. Mm-hmm. Instead, you pledge to give your mind to another god, you know, through the different rituals and the chants that you partake in. And also, how good is it to dwell together amongst the brethren? But however, in sororities, what I have found is that it's not often that. When there's a group of women that do not have the same mind, although you are portrayed as having the same mind, wickedness follows, meaning your contentions, your strife, all of that and every evil work, it comes along with it. So it's not glamorous by any means. And division, they're not uncommon. It's not uncommon.
Right. That was a question that I wanted to ask you, you know, having something like this as what they call the sisterhood, does it really create a sisterhood? I mean, do you still have the same problems that women have, the division, the pettiness, the not being able to speak to one another, the talking behind each other's backs? Did you still see all of that in sorority?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, see, it doesn't disappear. Only Yah is the only one that can penetrate all of that evil. You know, it's evil rooted. So he's the only one that can bring about true healing towards sisters. Hallelujah. All right, let's take a short break. And it is, we're about 42 minutes in. Yeah, we'll just take a short break and then we'll come back and we'll see where we are there.
Prison are open in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. That song never gets old. I love it. I truly do. You know, I was talking to Hadassah today, and I said, you know, I never pledged. I've never been through these things, but I remember being very young, and I was in middle school, and I had an older sister. And so my parents, they would take her to different colleges to visit. She was considering going to college. And so I remember seeing the sororities on the college campuses, and it just, it appealed to me, you know, from the standpoint of a status. You know, to me, I'm like, wow, this is great. And my mind was so young and so impressionable, and I didn't have anybody, you know, to give me righteous counsel. So I remember wanting to pledge from being in middle school up until high school. The reason I didn't was because I got pregnant and had a baby, and I didn't have time, you know, for sororities or anything. I wasn't even thinking about it. So I definitely got protected in that area. But, you know, so many people think that from a status standpoint, and I noticed that a lot of melanated people think about from a status standpoint, you know, because we've been so oppressed in the past. And you think that, you know, this is something that can heal all that oppression. This is something that can make me appear higher than what I really am. But it's just a facade. That's all it is, right?
Yes. It's a mirror. You think it'll help you to fill a void, but you come out of it realizing that you are still in the same place, if not even further down than you were.
Right. And I noticed that something that you said, Sister Hadassah, was you even had to repent for the hand signals and, you know, the calls and things like that. So there's calls, there's chants, there are things that are done so that if you are in the same location as a sorority sister, that you can recognize one another by one simple call. You know, you have a handshake that you do. You have hand signals that you do. I even witnessed, you know, seeing different sororities dance in circles. So there are different circles. There's one sorority on the end circle. There's another one on the outside circle, and there's another one outside of them in another circle. And they're all dancing, but they're holding up a bunch of satanic hand signs. So when you really think about it, it truly is wicked. One thing that I ran across and that I noticed is that this is very prominent in Christian churches. You know, a lot of people are recruited in the Christian churches. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever witness that?
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually very vulnerable because you appear to be appealing when you have that paraphernalia on. And if you're already looking to belong, oh, in the Christian church, you're ripe to be recruited.
Right. Right. A place where you're supposed to get set free, supposedly. But hallelujah for this ministry. Hallelujah for freedom. One thing that you mentioned during the break is that, you know, it's important to, once you're going through this process, make sure that you forgive yourself. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, ma'am. I remember going through this, and what began to come up was condemnation for those things that I had involved others in. It was not just myself. And so knowing that, you do have to forgive yourself, and also ask that those that you were a partaker in, ask that there be a healing in there too for them, for what you have done, what you help them to partake in.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was even listening to a testimony where a sister was saying that she felt convicted to call each one of her line sisters. Apparently she still was in contact with them. And she had to call each one of them in the process of her renouncing and denouncing and saying exactly why she is no longer going to be a part of this organization. Of course, not getting her hopes up because, you know, it's not necessarily for them. It's for her to obey. Yeah. One other thing is
that, you know, this might be something in your bloodline. So you have to make sure that you are going back and, you know, covering these things in your bloodline. Apply the prayers that we are learning. Apply the wisdom that we are learning and really go back to, you know, the bloodline if these things be in your line. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yes, ma'am. Just Pastor's already given us the layout. So just really revisiting that and remembering to include yourself and therefore renewing those curses so that you don't have to pass that on to your daughters or even preferably that desire will not even occur in their own heart. So that's it.
Right. And I also find it interesting, Sister Hadassah, that, you know, these sororities talk about working in the community, you know, and being moral and being upright and not belittling anyone. But in all of them, you don't see anything about being the best mother that you can be or, you know, home children and, you know, giving the children the best education that you can or taking care of your husband and submitting to your husband. Like, you hear nothing about any of that. And it really is part of, you know, feminism. You know, it really is another level in feminism.
It is. When you're a part of that organization, it's very selfish, actually, because a lot of your time can be spent away from your families, away from your husband, your children. A lot is poured into you that is demonic. You take that home. And so it's not a place to promote family, although it appears to be. It is not associated with promoting family or living holy by any means.
Right. Hallelujah. If any of you that are listening have been involved in a sorority and you need more information on how to be set free, you can send an email to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. And we will get you to the right person. I want to make an announcement that I actually forgot to make earlier. For those of you wanting to participate in the Straightway Marketplace during Tabernacles, please send an email to info@care-l.com letting Mother Carol know that you are interested in selling products for the Straightway Marketplace. So there's a lot of logistics that still need to take place. If you have not sold at the marketplace before, you have to get permission first. So please email info@care-l.com. And also, Mother Carol wanted to extend a thank you to those who have sent in items for Be a Blessing. She said that there are items that are rolling in, and they are definitely thankful for everyone who has participated, and we are still in need of items. So please contact the dining hall to let them know exactly what you plan to bring. All right, so we are wrapping up. We've got about 5 minutes, and then the premiere. The video, the interview will be made available. You will be able to interact in the chat on YouTube. You'll be able to interact in the live chat. The interview is about 30 minutes long. It's a really good interview. Sister Jasmine Basham is a really good sister. We love the family, her husband, her daughter, Leilani. So I pray that you all enjoy that interview. Remember, it'll be in about another 5 minutes. There'll be a short intermission, maybe about 4 minutes. So by the time the outro song ends, then you should be able to watch the interview. Is there something that you'd like to say to wrap up, Sister Das? I want to thank you for being on here and being open and being vulnerable and just helping those who need help. I know, you know, when you went through this process, it was a while ago, and so I just appreciate you, you know, doing what needs to be done to help the Daughters of Zion.
Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for this opportunity. And I just want to say that I look forward to everyone that may have not thought to renounce these particular organizations, because maybe it's been a long time for you. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. And also for you to know that you truly can be purged, mm-hmm. and then not even be in your remembrance anymore. Mm-hmm. You can truly get to that point. So blessings on your journey, and I pray that you enjoy it.
Hallelujah. You know, and sometimes I find that when something is not on your mind, then you typically are tempted to not deal with it. So if it's not been on your mind and you have not dealt with it, this is something that you do need to deal with, because, you know, these oaths that are taken and these vows that are made, it's very important. And you may even need to get your master involved, you know, in breaking some of those vows and those oaths as well. Do you want to talk about that involvement, just involving your master to help you? Or?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Like in any process, asking your master to literally help you and praying for you and healing for your mind, and even with deliverance, because they have a lot more insight, really, when it comes to being able to assist you with these things, fears that you may not have thought of that may be associated with. They're able to help you in that area. So utilize them, because their strength truly in leaning on your master.
All right. Hallelujah. So it's 7:58 here, 6:58 Central Time. We're going to go ahead and we're going to play our little last song, and then we're going to end the show. And our interview will be showing shortly after that. I just want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Sister Sakina, for being there behind the scenes, just making sure that everything goes smooth. Love you all dearly. Shalom.
Sweden.
Jag är hebreer från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani ivriya miIsrael, ohevet et shevet straightway veachyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako akong pamilya sa straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada.
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.